Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here in Christian, hashtag Christian Straight Talk. You're joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, and we have Simon Pinchbeck. We are looking straight down the barrel of truth this morning, this afternoon, this evening. Whenever you listen back to this podcast, we just asked God right now that if he will guide you and strengthen you straight out the barrel of truth. Thank you for joining us. Share these podcasts wherever you are across the world. This is hashtag Christian Straight Talk. We have our brother with us today. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Ben, and it's great to be back in the pod room.
We've dived in. Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. What a great strap line, if you can use that terminology.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Straight out the barrel of truth.
Straight out of the barrel of truth. And Ben, you know, last week we spoke about fear is not an option, didn't we?
And it can't be.
One scripture really bounced out to us, stood out to us, didn't it? You know, it was...
It come alive
during that.
Like so, never before.
So today we think we're going to talk
We've got to go back.
That, you know, and that was Exodus 14:14, but we'll dig into that in a few moments, because that says, stand still and the Lord will fight for you, in various translations. But I've been thinking about this fear thing, Ben, and doing a little bit of research. And do you know how many times in the Bible the Lord says, fear not?
Fear not. 175 times.
You're just guessing there, aren't you? Aye. You're just plucking a number out
Come
of
the
air there. You know? He says, this is gonna knock you off your chair, mate. He says, fear not, 365 times in the Bible.
Wow. That is serious.
One for every day of the year.
One for every day of the year. So if you are listening, which you are, and you clearly grasp that, what I love about God and Christ and the Holy Spirit is that he tells us very clearly, fear not. So that gives me a clear indicator that I'm going to be fearful.
Yeah, totally.
It gives me a clear indicator
that... He knows human nature.
He knows each and every one of us. So if you are in a fearful position at this moment, don't be fearful about being fearful. Don't think that you're a bit of an oddball, because the church, religion, can make you feel an oddball. If you're fearful, you're not saved. You're not really saved if you're fearful.
Didn't we speak last week about all the great men and women of the Bible? Yeah, they're all fearful. And you know, if we take, the father of our faith, or the Jewish faith, Abraham, twice he was so fearful
that he
coughed up his wife to be his sister. I'm all right, Jack.
I'm all right. Quick. Let's put the old woman in the arena.
Go on, there you go. Quick. Let's throw her under the bus.
Throw her under it. Good.
I'm so frightened.
Now, this is the father. Abraham, the father of faith, where everything has sprung from. Oh dear me, my life's in the arena. Quick, put the old woman in there. I'm out. It's her. And where do we hear that line? Yeah. You know, that line is so of a classic line, straight out of Genesis, at the very beginning, where God gave Adam Eve, and Eve took of the tree of knowledge, center of life, and all that. And Adam said very clearly, well, God, you gave me her.
Yeah.
Isn't it interesting how humanity flicks it onto someone else?
Needs to blame someone, don't
I? I've got to blame someone. There's a blame culture. There's this stuff that's going on. But fear makes you say things like that. Fear. You can imagine how Adam was. Hang on a minute, he's blaming... No, not me. Not me. No. It was her. You gave her to me. It's not me. I'm perfect. I wouldn't have done that mistake. But fear makes you act different.
It makes you act different. So that's a great tee-in to that bit of scripture. So if Exodus 14:14, but if we start at Exodus 14:10...
Yeah,
and
come on.
The background to it is that, you know, Moses had... through trials, he managed to get Pharaoh to let him pull all the Israelites out of the nation of Egypt. But Pharaoh had second thoughts, and he's chasing them, isn't he?
I'm coming. You know, he wants them back.
He wants them. He said, "No." He said, "No." You know,
I'm losing my workforce.
Well, you know, he's probably sat back and thought, hold on a minute, this is a wizened old guy, he's 80 years old, and he's had me over. Like, you know, he's,
I ain't having that.
I'm the greatest king in the world. You know, no, I want this workforce back.
Yeah.
And
look what it says, verse 10. Yeah, as verse Pharaoh 10, approached. It says,
and as Pharaoh, do you want to read it out, Ben?
No, go on, you read it, go on.
And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid.
Yeah.
They were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, and here we are, this is the blame, that blame culture. Yeah,
it's again, blame coming back.
Yeah. Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we were told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Man, you know, he's set them free, and they want to go back into slavery, don't they?
They want to go back.
Yeah.
And that's where we sit today. We've got to be very careful as the church is opening through this pandemic. The pandemic has been a blessing. There's been a blessing to individuals to really seek Christ. But there is a culture at this moment just saying what they were saying here to Moses. We want to go back.
We want to go back.
Leave us alone. We want to go back. And the religion wants to go back under Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is the government. The government has the church. The church is owned by the government, and I'm not talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, because no one can own that kingdom. It says very clearly that Christ is the head of the church. He makes that a clear word, a clear statement. So Christ is the head of the church. But here we have a very mirror image of what we see in this world today. We want to go back.
Yeah, there's a fear. There's a fear.
We'll go back.
We want to stay in the governmental system. We want to stay in this
structure. We want to stay under this structure.
I'm going to say it, Ben, it's a Baal system.
All the way through.
It's a beast system. And they go on to say, they're crying out, and they go, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians.
Amen. Yeah.
And that we should die in the wilderness. So they're already thinking.
Yeah.
They're already lost faith in God.
Yeah, but God is taking them to a promise.
And he's promised them, but they've already forgotten that.
Yeah.
And then Moses said to the people, he said this, so he stood up and he said, do not be afraid. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, and this is a real key scripture, Ben. He says, for the Egyptians whom you see today.
Come on, let's have it.
You will see again no more forever.
Yeah.
The Lord will fight for you. And you shall hold your peace.
Just stand still.
See, so the fears that you see today, if you put your trust in the Lord and stand still, you won't see him again.
No. It's really interesting in verse 10. It says there, and as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. See, when you look up, so vision is everything, vision. So what I see with my eyes will affect my heart. What I hear with my ears will affect my heart. Your eye gate and your ear gate, the window, the access point to your heart, and the heart is the true you, not the outside you, not what you wear, not what you, how the circle and culture you live in. But what's interesting, it says the Israelites looked up. When they looked up, what did they see? They see the enemy. They saw the enemy, and the enemy put them in a spin. The enemy drove them in fear.
There's a phenomenon in the animal world. People call it flight or fight.
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, if I have got my dog on a lead, and something, he either wants to run away or he wants to.
That's correct.
He wants to have a go.
Yeah,
do you know?
Yeah.
And that's the same here.
Yeah.
And it's the same in our life. We either fly and run away. Or we stand still and we fight. Now,
Now that fight.
There's
a difference.
Look at that, Ben. Yeah. What does that actually mean?
What does it actually mean?
As a born again. Oh, as a born again believer, Ben.
Hang on. Born again?
We're
in church. We don't talk about being born again. We talk about religion. So there's a different fight. There's a different fight to a worldly fight and a spiritual fight, because I don't need to fight because the scripture says the battle belongs to the Lord. Stand still and he will fight for you. So what does that mean? Just to hold your faith.
Hold your faith. Hold your faith. I mean, you've
just keep on the perch of faith.
Yeah.
Keep on the rock.
You dipped into hold another it. Scripture there.
Penelope, hold it.
You know, 1 Samuel 17, 45, 47 is where David was up against Goliath. And what hold did it. He... And he turned round, didn't he, to Saul and the others, you know, and he said, because the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's.
The battle, see, it comes...
an interesting point.
It's an interesting point. I don't like to use the word mindset because my mind is just of this naturalist on this natural earth. But my logic, my thinking, my articulating, my understanding, my cognitive processing, my computing things, the way everything works, that is temporal. I have to be in Christ so that, not that when I say I can rise up to that level of faith. So I'm not going in fear because fear as a ceiling level. Fear will hold you to this world. Fear will pin you down. But faith will, you will rise on wings as of eagles. Faith will take you to a level. But it doesn't mean getting into church and doing everything for what the church, what it means is, trust me.
Well, Ben, you're hold exactly tight. Right. You're 100% right. Because there has to be an understanding that if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, then your old life is gone. And
gone.
The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that we are a new creation. So God doesn't look on you as the old person, as the old Ben, or as the old Simon, or the old bank robber, or adulterer, or drunken alcoholic. He looks at you as through the eyes of Jesus.
That's my
Christ,
son.
As his son. So then, when you give your life, and we have to be very careful with this giving your life. When people very, they just, it's a throwaway thing sometimes. They say, I'll give my life to the Lord. Well, have you really?
Have you really?
Or are you hanging on to the old stuff? Because giving your life to the Lord means...
You're treading in the territory.
You are the Lord's property. You're sealed with
the blood.
The blood.
You're not yourself. You are not property of yourself.
Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
You're an instrument.
You are an instrument.
So, you're an ambassador.
So listen. So hear this. If you're out there, hear this, because many people don't grasp this.
No.
If you have accepted Jesus Christ and you are what we call born again, a new creation, you belong, you've got a seal, you're sealed with the blood of the Lamb, and you're sealed with Jesus, and you're sealed with the Father. So the Father is going to look after you. He's going to watch over you. You don't have to worry or fear like the Israelites here, because... He's got you. He's got you. Now, we know we've got an enemy who comes at us from seven
every angle.
Ways, but the Bible clearly says, doesn't it, you know, that when the Lord fights for you, the enemy's disappeared seven different ways, you know.
Exactly.
So all you've got to do...
Stand still. But that's the hardest thing.
That's the hardest
thing that you will ever do as a believer is stand still in the face of adversity. Because if we continually look at that Exodus scripture that we're in, Exodus 14:10, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. So there's an action that I take as a human being. And as the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. The enemy is always marching after us. The enemy is always looking to draw us back. The enemy is always trying to pull us back. And you can imagine what it looked like. As they looked up, what did they see? They see the dust in the desert, in the distance in the desert. They see Pharaoh's army coming towards them. He chose the best chariots, the best horses, the best fighting men to go and get them. So the enemy will send his best, and he will send everything that he's got to get you, and he will drive fear. So they was a fair distance off, but as they looked up in the distance, the enemy was coming. And I just got to encourage you right now, the enemy might be surrounding you, but hold your peace, hold still, stand fast on the word of God. It says they were terrified and they cried out to the Lord. Now that's very intriguing. In your terror, you cry out to the Lord. But what way am I going to go?
Which way are you going to go?
And in their terror, they cried out, not to Pharaoh. In their fear and their terror, they cried out to Pharaoh, cried out to God. But am I going to go for God, or am I going to go for Pharaoh? And it's clear what they chose. Why did you bring us out here to die? It'd be better for us to stay under Pharaoh. Pharaoh represents the government. Do you want to go back to Pharaoh? Do you want to go back to being caught under this religious regime? Do you want to go back to this satanic way of the way the world is portrayed and pushed over you? Or do you really want to see the glory of God?
Well, it's exactly the same with David and
exactly.
Goliath, isn't it? Here we have an army, Saul and his army, and they were probably, you know, powerful guys,
yep,
muscle-bound guys who were skilled in yep, sword, in battle, but they'd gone back to the old way. They were not living in a supernatural. They were living in the natural.
In the natural.
And and all of a sudden, this young boy comes along, mm-hmm, and he's just looks, and he sees like virtually a terracotta army, ain't they? You know,
yeah,
because they ain't doing nothing. And then there's this big old lump, which, you know, the Bible says he was, what, 6 cubits high, which is 9 foot 9,
he was
10 foot tall.
He was enormous.
He would have been an amazing basketball player. Today he was huge. You know, he said he had a spear like a weaver's rod. And this young boy comes and said, well, hold on a minute, I'm not, the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's.
Yeah.
I've killed bears, I've killed lions, mm, I'm going to have a go at this geezer. You know, I'm going to take this geezer down, you know. And off he goes. And he kills the fella, doesn't he?
Such a battle. But isn't it interesting what David says to him? You come against me with spear, javelin and sword, but I come in the name.
I come in the name of the Lord.
He had no weaponry, he had no armoury. He just had 5 stones and a sling. But before any mention of anything that he was carrying, the stones, his sling, he says, I come in the name of the Lord. That is the power of, that is the place that I should be as much as a believer. I've got to understand that in the name of Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus. All things are possible to those who believe. I've got to be careful with that line, that I don't take that and use that and take a text out of context. I've got to make sure that I know my Redeemer lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And it doesn't matter how big and how vast the army is, if I know that I'm going in the name, I'm going to be all right.
Well,
it's got to be done in the name.
You brought up a point there, Ben, you know, we love the Old Testament, don't we?
We love it, yeah.
We're going to get into Joshua in a minute, but what you said there is, do you remember in 2 Kings, Elisha and his servant?
Yeah.
And there was a huge army out there. And Elisha, and the servant was scared, wasn't
shaking.
He was frightened, you know. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes.
Yeah, open his eyes, Lord.
And what did he see, Ben?
Tell me.
He saw mass chariots and armies of angels.
Where did they come from?
Place.
What did he see? He sees something that the enemy couldn't see.
He couldn't see, yeah.
Imagine what that would have been like when this servant guy, eyes are opened. What is this? If we could see in that spirit world, if we really could see above the natural eyesight. It's interesting, isn't it, that what we just read out from Exodus chapter 14 from verse 10, they looked up and they saw. So what you see affects you. So what the servant saw first affected and made him shake in his boots. But then when his eyes were opened and what he see in the heavenlies Ah. Hang on a minute, this is different.
And you know, I'll bring it to, you know, I've spoken to,
yeah,
to young men. I spoke to a young lad, a Christian lad, who was walking down the East End of London one night, and there was a gang coming towards him, and he knew one or two of them, but he, you know, he was a white lad. These were Asian lads, and he was going to be a, but they sort of just walked straight by him.
And what did they say?
And the next day, he spoke to one of them, and he said, "Who was them two fellas with you last night? Them big fellas."
Really?
He said, "I didn't have anybody with me." He said, "Yeah, you did. There was two big fellas with you. You know, that's why we didn't worry about you. You know, we didn't want to take you on.
We passed you by.
We passed you by."
Whoa!
And my a good mate of mine, his daughter was over in I don't know, Ibiza or somewhere, and she was with her friend, and there was a gang of boys surrounding them, surrounded these two girls as they're walking back to their apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, from nowhere, a couple come out and say, come in, come in, and took them into their apartment.
Angels. Angels appear. Psalm 91.
I've got several instances
encounters and stories. Yeah.
Stories like that.
God always shows up. He always gets us through. He always makes a way where there is no way.
Now we say that because we have stories of that, but we were saying just outside, there's massive persecution going on, isn't there, around the world?
Yeah.
And we can't ignore it, because there's Christians out in places like Afghanistan who...
Our lives have been taken.
Lives have been taken. Mm. So they... You know, you might say, well, it's okay for you to talk about this stuff, but what about these people? There's no, it doesn't seem to be angels, but there will be miraculous stories out. Some of them have escaped, but others won't, will they?
No.
But tell us what you've experienced, because you do weekly podcasts on the persecuted church, don't you?
Yeah, it's come to a clear understanding in my heart and mind that when you are faced with a gun, when you are faced with your own mortality, God steps in like never before. I don't believe that any Christian in the UK can fully understand and fully grasp unless you've been in that arena and God has given you the strength, because it is only by the revelational knowledge of the Holy Spirit and by the power of his word that he will equip any human being to be able to face a bullet, to be able to face a situation. Because over here in the West, within the UK, we are so cushioned, it's probably more dangerous to be cushioned the way we're cushioned. But in the persecuted church, we hear it, we read it, we see it time and time again, where people's lives are threatened. If you deny Christ, you'll be safe, you'll live. Nobody denies him. Yes, some, their lives get taken, yes, their families get ripped apart, but still a big percentage of God makes a way where there is no way. God heals. God makes a door. God saves lives. God sets the captives free. And in the persecuted church, it has to be the power of the Holy Spirit takes you to a place of a supernatural level where you suddenly realize that this world is meaningless. It is very temporal. And God, for his grace and his mercy and his power, strengthens a human being to be able to face that persecution. The UK doesn't understand what persecution means.
So what we're saying here, Ben, that even though it may seem on the outside that God's not at work, he's at work.
God is at work.
He's strengthening these amazing people of faith,
they are the real church. The persecuted church around the world that is being persecuted is the real church. I have to ask myself the question, is the church in the UK just all show? We have not faced any persecution whatsoever. And we have to look at the fruit of what is going on. When you look at the persecuted church and you see what they go through and the way God guides them, they can't even hold a Bible, they have to bury Bibles, and there are so many different ways and they have apps on their phone and all sorts of ways of following Christ, and through Transworld Radio, a great Christian radio station that gets the word of God right out to the persecuted church. So in the UK, I have to ask myself, how much of the church, as we use that church label, are really saved?
Well, it's a great question. It's a real big question. And I think it's something we can address at some point, or should really address, because what how you've explained that to me, that has answered the doubts and the questions I had in my head before we came in to do this. So, and what we're saying is that
when fear really comes into the arena, I know we all have fears of certain things in this nation, but if you can imagine, like, we've read that line out there very, very quickly, and because obviously time, but it says that they looked up and they was fearful. They looked up and they was terrified. Real terror and real fear will make you do two things. It will make you act completely outside of the structure of a Christian, or it will drive you closer to the cross.
It's fight or flight again. Mm. But you know, before we sort of leave that, line of thought, Ben, in countries like this, the church is thriving. It's growing.
It's growing. The governments can't control it.
They can't control it.
In Iran, they flattened all the churches, but the church is still growing.
It's still growing. People
in Afghanistan, they're trying to drive Christians out, but the church is still growing. In Korea, North Korea, China, trying to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ, but it is growing.
So these men and women do not die in vain.
No.
They do not die in vain.
There's a
purpose for their lives. There's a purpose for their death.
Yeah.
So the Lord is using their amazing faith to inspire others to come to faith.
To come to faith. And I heard and I read and I listened into this unbelievable story of this lady that was in one of the darkest prisons in the world. In the world of Islam, in the hardest area you could ever want to be, in the darkest of the darkest of the darkest prisons, and she got out, and she got out and she got free, but the Holy Spirit spoke to her, and she had to go back. Why did she go back? Because she had to go back because she had to teach and preach the gospel, so she walked back to that prison. And she went into that prison. She gave herself up.
Wow.
You can't do that in the Ben suit, the Simon suit, whoever suit you're in.
No.
God will give you the fuel and the zeal and the spiritual fervor. God will give you the strength to face with whatever you face. So this big capture word, fear, is across every platform of life. Even a believer does not escape this word. If anything, when you become a believer and you're on the fringe and you are in and you are around Christianity, and you know in your heart that he lives. You know, you might not attend church and you might not portray outside, but in your heart you are a believer. You will probably be quite a fearful person, because when you look across the world will give you fear.
Oh. Totally, and it's ramped up to a level we've not seen.
And I'm afraid to say, the church within the UK, correct me, send me an email, text me, whatever you want to say, has not taught an individual how to live in the valley of the shadow of death, how to live by faith, how to live in the most fearful moment of your life. We've been lifting the flag, and it's been the wrong flag. The church needs to come back to sound doctrine. Preach the word in season, out of season.
Yeah.
We are in a spiritual crisis in the UK, and it's not because of what the devil has done, it's what the church hasn't done.
Ben, we're in the biggest spiritual battle since the cross, across the world.
Yeah.
And I was, a couple of years ago, I was in India speaking to one of these little home churches, and they were rammed, absolutely
jammed.
It was, you know, and it was on the back of a conference where there was 2,000 leaders, you know. So
but they're hungry.
They're hungry, and one lady, you know, stood up. They pointed her out for prayers because she'd been at the conference, and for 2 days she was at the conference, her house had been burgled.
Wow.
And everything she had been taken away. Now, she was still there. And she was saying, no, because I love the Lord so much. Now, you're right. Do we encounter that love, that same power and that same love here in the UK? Are we hanging on to our material things?
We're hanging on to Christian materialism.
Christian materialism, Ben.
We've got a
nation. I believe as long as I've got my nice car and my nice house or whatever,
You know.
It's easy, isn't it? It's a lot
It is. I believe for the believer, it will be fine. But for those that are in religion, they are going to be challenged like never before.
Well, we've spoke about it, haven't we? You
know, and what's going to come into the area of your mindset and your understanding is this word that we're talking about, fear. Because if I go with Pharaoh and Pharaoh's teachings and the government's teachings, if I go with that, I don't quite agree with it, but I'll be safe. Because that's how fear drives you. I'll come under the structure of government. But if you want to follow Jesus, you have got to push a lot of stuff over and go, no, I'm going by faith.
Well, you've also got to strengthen your relationship with the Lord so that you hear very clearly what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
And one person in the Bible who heard very clearly from God is Joshua. Now, the book of Joshua, Ben, I personally, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it's probably one of the most underrated books there is. And look, is God speaking to Joshua? Don't forget, you know, Moses, the great leader, he's died. Yeah. He wasn't going to come into the promised land. Joshua is, and Caleb, and he says this to him. So in Joshua verse 1, and he starts at 6, he said this. Listen to what he said, Ben, you know, because he says this. He said, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And again he says this. He says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Interesting. He said, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And that's a word for us, isn't it?
It's a solid word.
Yeah, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. And then he ends it by saying, once again, he says this, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Wherever you go. Oh, come on. So God is clearly giving instruction to this young leader.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Be of good courage, but do not let this book of the law depart from thy mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Comes back to the word.
Comes back to the word.
In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And then in John it says, and the word became flesh, and he's made his dwelling among us. The word is the key.
The word is the key. And he says,
and what is the word? Jesus.
Jesus.
It's
the key all the way through the Bible.
All the way through, from Genesis through to Revelation. God says, let's make man in our image. In Colossians it says very, very clearly that Christ is the image of the invisible God.
But he says this, he says, do not be afraid or be dismayed. Now,
Interesting words.
Yeah, but not be afraid because of what I'm going to do with you, and do not be dismayed of what you see I do. So here's the thing.
So
for us, do not be afraid, but don't be dismayed because of what I'm going to do through you.
So what that tells us very clearly is that what our expectancy of us in God's world is not what God is going to do. So what God is saying is, what I'm going to do with you is no way you can accomplish this in the flesh.
No, you're right.
So do not be afraid of what I'm going to do to you. Isn't it interesting that he's not talking about the world outside? He's encouraging this young warrior leader. What I'm about to do to you, you could be dismayed or you could be worried.
Yeah.
Because you can't do this in your own strength. And we see a clear understanding that the power of obedience will flatten any city, will do anything and destroy any enemy. But if you've got someone in your camp that is nicking the plunder, further on in the text, they were seeing victory and victory. This is what's happened to the church. We've had great, great, powerful leaders that God has birthed into this nation. But in that camp of Joshua, he had a couple of little scallywags that went into a certain city. They didn't see Joshua and the others didn't see what they was doing. When you've got someone in your camp that is robbing and taking the blessing, God said, go into that city, and city after city, they see it fall. They took everything out of there. So you might be steadfast in the word of God, but watch out, because the ones that you could be journeying with might be filtering and trying to snatch the glory.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a great point, because if the Lord has spoken for you, you've got your
vision,
calling,
where
you're going, but that may be delayed because
there's two.
So be very careful who you
mix with.
Very careful who you've got around you.
Yeah,
because if you've got the right people, and it don't need many, Ben.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, you can. Out there, we used to say when I was in the police force, you know, I knew hundreds and hundreds of people. Mm. But when it comes down to it, you've only probably got a handful of true fellas.
True ones that cover your back.
True friends that will cover your back. But, so what was the first, I mean, God used Joshua, didn't he? So the first city he came at was Jericho.
Jericho.
Now this was a fortified city. It was famous throughout the land. The walls were so thick, they said you could ride a chariot on top, Ben, you know?
You couldn't get through it. It's impossible with man.
Now, what did he say? He said, march around, but don't say a word.
Obedience.
Why did he say don't say a word? Because you know they were going to go, oh, we'll never get in here. We'll start grumbling and moaning.
As soon as you start talking.
And it's exactly what you were saying. Because you knew that then those people who were moaning would rob the blessing.
Exactly.
It's exactly what you were saying.
Yep.
So if you've got people around you moaning, groaning, not going...
A bad report.
It's going to, you know... And
when
what
the
happened,
spies were sent
what
out.
What happened then? They ended up walking around in the wilderness for 40 years. Mm. So be very careful. That's a great point. Be very careful who you've got in your camp.
And the reason I mentioned that part of that text, I know it's going to slide off a bit of a turn, but I do believe God is prompting me to say that, and I'll say it again. Even though Joshua was given clear instruction that Simon read out, he was seeing victory and victory and victory. Just as the church, we have seen victory and victory. But because a couple in the same camp suddenly decide to go off on a different angle, it starts to move the rest off on the wrong angle. So that affected Joshua as a leader. He lost that battle.
Ben, I don't think I think we're on the same lines here.
Yeah.
Why? Because you can have people in your ear telling you,
exactly,
can't do that. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Do you think you are?
Yeah.
You can't. You're not going to. That's too difficult for you to do.
Mm.
If the Lord's told you to do it, he'll pull you through it. You've got to get rid of these naysayers.
You've got
rid of these doubters.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are quite happy sitting in their armchairs, or quite happy sitting on the sidelines, moaning and complaining about you when you're in the arena.
That's
You know, you'll probably fall down and get covered in muck and whatever, but if the Lord's told you to do it, get up and do it. Because, look, further on in Joshua, I love that book of Joshua, further on in verse 10, all of a sudden... he's got five kings coming at him, hasn't he?
Five kings.
He's got five kings coming at him, and what does he calls out? He calls out to him. He calls out to God. He says, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of." And so the sun stood still. So the sun stood still.
See,
never before has that happened.
So Joshua, the book of Joshua, I believe runs parallel with the book of Ephesians, because Ephesians is, I call it the spiritual Joshua. Because when you read the two together,
right,
you've got the Joshua as the practical fighting Old Testament. And when you look at Ephesians, about dressing in the armour, the spiritual warfare. So when you bring the two together, that's how we see ourselves today, is to listen, and there is instruction, as Joshua had to follow, but there is a spiritual instruction as well. Put on the armour of God. Put the full armour on. Ephesians chapter 6, you've got to put on the full armour, the breastplate, and all the rest that goes along with that. So when Joshua had these kings and these coming against him, the sun stood still. Hang on a moment. That goes against law. That goes against the natural law of life. That goes against the law of science. That goes against law of
gravity,
of physics. Yeah. It goes against everything.
Because if the sun stood still, that means the earth ain't spinning. And if you believe the earth's round, then you're going to fall off.
Yeah, you're going to fall off. I thought it was flat.
Well, that's an argument for another day.
Yes, isn't it? So when you think about that, the sun stood still. That is how much God will move to keep you safe.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable.
God will just hold the sun off. God will give you more daylight hours. God will give you more strength in your valley of the shadow of death. But the key to all of this, from Genesis to Revelation, is Jesus being the centre.
It's Jesus being the centre. So we're not to fight in our physical strength, are we?
Ephesians, it makes it very clear. Our
battle
is not against flesh and blood.
Against flesh and blood. And
against principalities, against the forces and the authorities in heavenly realms.
And we come back to what David said, we come back to what Zechariah said, not by might.
Not by strength.
Not by strength, not by power, but in my spirit, says the Lord.
It's all spiritual.
It says some trust in chariots. Some
trust in horses.
Yeah, but I trust in...
Some trust in pastors. Don't do that. Never trust.
And that's an interesting point. Some trust in the word of man.
They do.
Do not trust in the word of man.
Comes back to what we were saying the other week, without going down that road, humanism.
Totally.
Humanism. The word of man. So we are living in a very spiritual world. A very spiritual world. But the world only sees it, and humanity sees it, as the natural world. But there is a world amongst and in this world that is a very powerful spiritual world. The Bible talks about that very, very clearly. There is angels active at this very moment in time. You still have the issue of the foreign gods. Baal is not really spoken about, the sun god, but he is around. Jezebel is around. Lucifer is the leader of his troops.
Baal is about.
Is a massive thing that is still happening. Witchcraft, the occult world, Freemasonry.
Please, what we're doing with these podcasts, we're asking you really to examine where you are with your faith, and we're asking you to question everything.
Yeah.
Because right now we should be questioning every single thing that we've ever believed in. Does it? And if it comes in line with Scripture, then we're okay. We're on good, solid ground. If not, then do we need it in our lives? So that's what we've got to ask. Do you know who you are in Christ?
I'm in Christ.
20.
Yeah, 220, I am in Christ.
Are you in Christ? And Christ is in you.
Yeah. And so there is a connection. There is the this is where we see the natural collide with the spiritual.
Yeah.
There's a collision, if you can use that terminology. There is a coming together. There is a oneness. But we can't see it because we only see naturally.
You see, if you're in Christ, then you're not going to fear man. And the Bible tells us that the fear of man is a snare. And I read this only this morning from Isaiah. It says, "Sever yourselves from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils. For what account is he?" So, what account are these people when we've got God? And I know we're coming into land here, and I think it's just gone so quickly this morning. But I think if we, you know, end on a scripture, Ben, 2 Timothy 1:7.
Yeah, let's finish. Come on in. I don't want to finish, but we're not finishing. But this is a continuum. We're just going to breathe.
He says, you know, you've not been given a spirit of fear.
No.
As a new, born again, spirit filled believer, you've not been given a spirit of fear. God doesn't say, "Oh, here's a fearful spirit for you. Come to my side." No. Yeah. No, he's given you a spirit of power and of love and a strong mind.
Okay. So I clearly understand through that text that Christ has given me a strong mind. He has given me everything, but I still act in fear. That is because that is of my flesh. So there is a battle that is within. The greatest battle is the enemy.
Is the enemy? Yeah.
The enemy of me is me. Yeah. Is the
enemy
flesh me?
Is my enemy?
Yeah. That's it. That's exactly right.
Did yeah.
You did, my friend. You did. It is the inside of me that is the stronger me, but it is my mind that tries to control the spiritual me. So there is always a battle between faith and fear. It's not because I'm not called or I'm not saved. God gives us, there has been a ransom on your life. You have been washed in the blood of Jesus. But what I see with my natural eyes, I cannot allow it to come into my heart, because then I will be just like an Israelite. As they see Pharaoh, they see him and they heard him coming over the hills. So as Simon's just read out from that text, God has given us more. God hasn't given us fear. But there is a part of me that will always be that Ben, fearful, thinking, natural me. But God has given us so much more. But it's learning to, the more I lean in him, the fear starts to push away. The more I follow him, the fear starts to go. The more I trust him. So over the journey of my Christian walk with him, I will reach a point where I won't be so fearful. I will reach a point where I'm closer. But I've got to learn to walk with him and trust him.
And that's, I think, a great way to come into land, Ben. And
yeah.
Listen, wherever you are out there, wherever you're listening to this, we just pray that the Lord has opened your heart and ears today to receive what we've been, what we believe the Lord has put on our heart. And there's some great stuff come out today. But, you know, don't forget what we said right at the beginning. There's 365 times the Lord says, "Fear not, do not be afraid." And if you put your trust in the Lord and not in man, then you know, the fears, as Ben says, you'll see them, but you'll just move through them.
Amen.
Move past them. And as we said in that first scripture, we spoke about the Egyptians that you see today, you will not see again. And the fears that you see today, you will not see again. So I pray that that the Lord will bless you, the Spirit of the Lord will surround you, and you'll have those angels all about you to guard you and guide you and lift you up so your foot won't strike a stone. So amen. And thanks, Ben, this morning. It's been a
God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to everyone that's been listening to us today. You've been listening to Simon Pinchbeck and myself here at hashtag a Christian Straight Talk. You know, please never give up. You will, you can contact us anywhere, any place, any time. You know, just never give up. Contact Simon through hashtag Christian Straight Talk. You know, you've been listening to us as we've been speaking out straight out the barrel of truth. You can find us hashtag Christian Straight Talk on Twitter and other social media feeds. But thank you so much to listening to this podcast. Have a great day. Stay in the Word of God. Never ever give up. He's the King of Glory. And remember, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. In Jesus' name, amen.